from the earth and from the heart. If Lakota societal values seemed to discourage the accumulation of material possessions, it was also true that generosity was encouraged and exemplified. Paraphrasing an ancient sentiment helps us understand why generosity is necessary. The Earth Mother gives us all that she has. We must do the same. Generosity, therefore, is a timeless virtue that lives in the heart. Indeed, the literal translation of the Lakota word for generosity, chanteyuke, means has a heart. One of the sacred ceremonies of the pipe, brought to us and taught by the white buffalo calf maiden, is the hunka, which means to forever move. The earth tells us, I shall forever be or move as your mother. We are given assurance that no matter how good or how bad we are, no matter how happy or miserable, because we are children of the earth, she will always love us and provide for us. Therefore, our concept and practice of generosity comes from the earth itself. Our stories tell us that the white buffalo calf maiden came to us a few thousand years ago. So as far as we're concerned, we've been around a while. And in that time, though we have experienced change, life did not ever change as swiftly and with as much difficulty as it has in the past 300 years, and especially in the past 150 years. Prior to the sudden changes experienced by the past three or four generations, we lived a primitive lifestyle. As with any human society anywhere, we had the basic needs of food, shelter, clothing, and security. We provided for those needs by hunting and gathering. In the bigger picture, our lifestyle was dictated by the environment around us. In other words, our ancestors didn't make an arbitrary decision to be hunter-gatherers. They had to function as such because it was the best and most logical method of survival. Like most of the peoples who lived on the prairie, our ancestors were nomadic. Camps or villages were moved primarily to accommodate the activities of hunting and gathering. Our primary food source was the bison, a migratory herd animal, although it also provided materials for shelter and a variety of other necessities as well. We also hunted other large game, the deer, for example, and smaller game such as rabbits. We gathered various food and medicinal plants in season. Among them were wild oats, prairie turnips, peppermint, apples, plums, and a variety of berries. Obviously, our livelihood was derived directly from the earth, in keeping with her promise. Because she was so generous with us, we had to demonstrate the same generosity in our relationships with all living things. The earth shared with us and taught us to share. One of the most enriching customs still practiced on every Lakota reservation is the giveaway. It is simply that. Stuff is given away in celebration, in observance, or in memoriam. We Lakota need only the slightest reason to get together to feast or dance or both. Every summer, there are powwows on every reservation, and in urban communities where there is more than one Indian. We eat and we dance and we have a good time. But there is more to it than that. We are sharing. We share the food, the dances, and the good times. Rarely is there a powwow where some special ceremony is not performed, usually a traditional name-giving, the honoring of someone's accomplishment, the honoring of a veteran or veterans, or a memorial. Whatever the special ceremony, it is done very publicly. For example, a family will bestow a traditional Lakota name on a child, and anyone who wishes can watch and then join in the dancing to honor the recipient of the new name. Then the child's family does the giveaway. In appreciation for everyone's attention, participation, and good wishes, boxes, bags, and baskets full of stuff are given away. Stuff can be anything from candy bars to horses. The usual giveaway items are star quilts, blankets, sheets, scarves, pillowcases, towels, washcloth, soap, silverware, clocks, watches, costume jewelry, shawls, sunglasses, thermos jugs, pens, and so on. At the conclusion of the giveaway, at least one person, though frequently several, publicly expresses appreciation for the excellent gifts received and commends the family for a fine ceremony, and then there is more dancing. Giveaways are an especially significant part of memorials. A memorial is a gathering and a feast, usually a year after a death, to honor the deceased person. It is in keeping with the releasing the spirit ceremony brought to us by the White Buffalo Calf Maiden. This observance allows the family and the community to reconcile with the death and enables the spirit of the deceased to make the transition to the spirit world. There was always a feast where the family of the deceased serves those in attendance. Prayers are offered, and a revered elder, known for his or her wisdom, counsels about life and death. The occasion is concluded with a giveaway. The giveaway, as a significant part of many occasions, observances, and ceremonies, is so much more than the obvious. It is a mechanism for sharing. The giving of material gifts symbolizes the giving away, the sharing of joy, honor, or sorrow. When a gift is accepted, the recipient also accepts the joy, the honor, or the burden of sorrow. Generosity should not be limited to humans, however. All living things are related because we are all children of the earth. And everything we do affects the earth and everything on it, including the human race. The more water we pollute, the less there is for us to drink. The more land we contaminate, the less we have to grow crops. The more forests we cut down, the less oxygen there is for us to breathe. We humans have made the earth needy by our greed and selfishness, both rooted in the idea that the earth was created for us. Nothing could be further from the truth. We are of the earth. The earth has promised to care for and provide for us no matter who or what we are. We must understand that we are stewards of the land, and as such, we have a sacred responsibility to all our relatives to seriously and thoughtfully live up to it. This responsibility is to the present generation, as well as those yet to come. As a species, we humans have come far because of the generosity of the earth. She has given us a home, as well as a means to raise ourselves to lofty heights, if only in our own minds. It is far past the time to repay her with our generosity. We Lakota believe there are many roads in life, but that there are two that are most important, the red road and a black road. They represent the two perspectives to every situation, the two sides of every person, the two choices we frequently face in life. The red road is the good way, the good side, and the right choice. It is a narrow road fraught with dangers and obstacles, and is extremely difficult to travel. The black road is the bad way, the bad side, the wrong choice. It is wide and very easy to travel. The red road and the black road appear in many of our stories, not as roads, but as the personifications of right and wrong, good and bad, light and dark. The two hunters in the story of Brings the Deer are an example. One hunter is not generous. He doesn't want to share. The other hunter is most generous and gladly sees to the needs of others. Consider the ultimate fate of each hunter. Left Hand, who was not inclined to share, was frequently faced with negative consequences and had a hard life. Brings the Deer is generous, almost to a fault, but he is rewarded with the skills and abilities of those he helped. Generosity has its rewards. The Earth Mother appears as a great white deer and asks for nothing more than a simple acknowledgement of the gift of life. One must pause and consider the human species and wonder which hunter we have been. Furthermore, how have we acknowledged the gift of life from the earth? Generosity has its rewards. The lack of it has consequences. In the past, the accumulation of material goods among the Lakota was not unknown. But it wasn't done in the pursuit of wealth. It was done as a hedge against hard times and to help anyone who ran short. Still, it wasn't practical for a nomadic people to accumulate too much because it only meant more to haul when the camp was moved, which was at least two or three times a year. The more you own, the more you had to haul. A certain man had many possessions because he was reluctant to part with anything he owned. His dwelling was filled with all manner of things, and he had a large herd of horses to carry it all each time the village moved. Though he had all those fine things, he had no friends, and he was getting old and didn't want to spend his last days alone. He sensed that his time was drawing near, and he wanted the people to think and speak well of him after he died. So he spoke to the wisest old woman in the village. "What is the answer?" he asked. "I do not want to spend my last days alone." "Be generous," the old woman replied. The old man pondered the woman's advice, and then sent the camp crier among the people to announce that he would make a feast and that everyone was invited. The day of the feast came and the people gathered. True to his word, the old man fed all the people. Then he gave away all of his possessions, all of his horses, and even his lodge. He left himself with only the clothes he wore, no lodge to sleep in, and no horse to ride. But that night, he was invited to sleep in someone's lodge, and the next night, in another lodge. And so it was until the old man died. He had no possessions, but he had many friends, and it was spoken of him that he was a generous man.